Well, once again, this being Friday morning at 9:30 here on 91.9 FM, it's time for a conversation with John Orr, and I hope we have a lively one with lots of callers and interested parties on the topic, the timely topic, in my opinion, of politeness. Is rudeness on the rise and civility on the decline? Let's make America polite again. And so I invite your calls on this topic. Anybody out there think that that is true? There's certainly some evidence, both anecdotally and social statistics-wise. So I certainly invite your calls. I know I have my own experiences, my own opinions, as usual. And they range from social media to driving to table manners to consideration, a whole range of things. And why is this important? Well, a survey I read said that people believe that manners are important and they're in decline. Moreover, that our political leaders have a higher, we expect more from them in that department. So that's the topic today. And we invite your calls here at the station, 503-325-0010. Tell us about maybe a recent experience you've had with what you perceived as rudeness or incivility. And it looks like we may have our first caller, so let's take the music down.
Am I on the air now?
Yes, you are, sir.
From my Webster's Dictionary, it indicates that democracy is a form of government vesting sovereignty in the people. And it goes on to explain that democratize means to place under popular administration or to organize according to principles of equality and freedom. It's not, no longer reading to you, but rather I'm concerned about in public meetings how we don't seem to follow that anymore. That concept of democracy has fallen away because of causticness and uncivility in public meetings. In my little community on the Columbia River, we've actually had to have the mayor adjourn meetings because people just could not be civil. And it will not ever work if the mayor or any presiding person has to deal with an uncivil person in the audience. We, the people, need to rise up and let that person know that they're out of line. They would never get away with talking like that to a parent or a teacher or a priest. And yet, as we get to adulthood, we lay that all aside and become all so concerned about our point of view over everything. I think we, the people, need to rise up in groups and say, sit down, you're out of line.
Well, that certainly sounds like an observation based on a recent experience. I have to agree that there has to be a common set of values, and they're not values that are centered on our self-expression at the expense of others. They're about a shared responsibility, a sense of community, and a give and take, that we have the humility to recognize we don't have all the answers and everybody has their own experiences and perceptions. And if we look at somebody else's possible perceptions, maybe we'll be a little bit more patient. But you know, you say we wouldn't act that way in with our parents or our schools and elsewhere. And I'm beginning to have my doubts about that, because the social skills, the interaction with real human beings in FaceTime, which informs people about how they're reacting or how they're supposed to react or getting negative feedback, to put it mildly, is the going away, is being taken over by all the time on smartphones and electronic devices. So that by the time perhaps young people arrive at the age of majority, age of 18, they just have logged many fewer hours of this interactive experience. And so the self-regulation, the self-restraint has weakened. And therefore, when they want to speak, they're used to sort of the cover of just being nameless or faceless or just having this tablet in front of them, in the same way that people are more aggressive and flipping and off and swearing at people in a way they never would if they were just walking down the street or, you know, bumped into somebody or stepped in front of them. What do you think?
Well, that's the reason I don't even have a cell phone. I have a cell phone, but it's an old flip phone. I don't engage in social media because it is so uncouth. But I do think that we can model good conduct in public meetings, because that's where people begin to realize, oh, this is unacceptable. I do have to also listen, and I do have to respect people's individualism and their point of view. I think we can model better conduct in public if we, the people, demand that kind of conduct and don't just leave it to the presiding person to have to adjourn the meeting because it got out of hand.
Yeah, I agree. And what goes with that, in my opinion, would be that we need to respect volunteers, you know, planning commissioners or soil district commissioners or people that run for public office and they aren't getting paid or they're not getting paid much. And they run because they care, they're doing the best they can. And I think it just if you proceed from the assumption that our public leaders, our volunteers in public office are doing the best they can, then maybe this umbrage, this deep offense taken, this feeling like the sky is falling, that our rights are declining, and it's because of, you know, the people in the black hats, the liberals or the right wingers, you know, take your pick. I agree that democracy doesn't hold well when the center doesn't hold, and if people become intolerant of other points of view, then the United States would be consigned to follow in the footsteps of many failed governments, failed democracies. And indeed, in Germany and France, democracy started failing when the left and the right saw fit to do battle in the street with sticks and knives, and the communists were intolerant of the right wingers. And they all wanted to imprison the other side, or worse, or kill them. And so we need to really be aware, as a society, the historical precedent of intolerance for other points of view and incivility in the function of democracy. It's kind of like a muscle that doesn't get blood. It gets stuck. It gets inflamed. And I thank the caller for his call. Let's take another one here, if we can get that wonderful little light to flash up here. Yeah, good comments. Really appreciate the comments there. In the meantime, I've come across a list of, good Lord, I think it was like 25 rules of, oh, there we go. I guess we won't need to get to that. Let's take a call. This is the Conversation with John Orr. Thanks for your call. What's your question, comment, grief, complaint, observation, or whatever?
Go ahead. You're talking, am I online?
You sure are.
Oh, okay, wonderful. So I just tuned in, so I'm a little, it's a little vague about the exact discussion, but I know you were talking about manners.
That's right.
And I feel like, I'm 32, so my generation, you know, we could be the Y generation or we could be the millennial generation, but I feel like we get a lot of criticism for the phones, electronics, and you brought that up, and like that we don't have, you know, face-to-face conversations anymore. But I feel
actually,
like,
I didn't say that. I say there's a diminishing amount of it that is logged before the age of majority, and it's just one theory, not mine, that it could be undermining the social skills, and that could be one explanation. But anyway,
yeah,
go ahead.
Sure, and like that we're losing, you know, the proper, you know, manners and etiquette in that from electronics. But I feel like, yeah, we don't follow maybe the procedures or the agreed upon, you know, social structure that, you know, the baby boomers had, but I think we're more accepting and we're more kind to one another. There's a lot less, you know, prejudice. In my generation, I work with a lot of guys in my industry, and they're more accepting. I think the younger men are more accepting of working with women than the older men. And I feel like to criticize the Y generation and the I feel that that's a baby boomer like knee-jerk reaction, and they don't actually look at the big picture.
Well, I think there's a lot of truth in what you say. There's also some nuance. This was from psychcentral.com. It said a survey said 18 to 29 year olds about half of them said it was perfectly acceptable to use cell phones in a restaurant. And then for those over 60, only 22% agreed that it was acceptable to use cell phones in public. And I think for purposes of conversation, this is one thing that that stuck with me, and that is that the boomers, and maybe there's another generation behind us, that are raising children perhaps to be a little bit too independent, and that makes them less respectful of authority. And that can be a good thing if you're in a dangerous totalitarian or fascist regime, or there's the status quo is about trashing the planet and the environment. On the other hand, in the area of social manners, responsibility, respect for adults, and respect for authority, it may be there is, you know, a downside to that. And my point was not to trash or bad talk the millennials or those that use smartphones. I use one, and I breach the etiquette from time to time. But the thing is that all of us need to be responsible, whether it's teachers, whether it's parents, or just adults, to, you know, be respectful and considerate of others. And if we just think that if what's going on in the moment is not particularly interesting and we just check out, then according to one generation or one set of values, that may be perceived as rude. But I know that's not universally believed. Your thoughts?
Well, definitely. I'd probably do the same thing, pull out my phone. And, you know, I'm out with my girlfriends and they pull out their phones and it's acceptable. If I go out with someone who's in their 50s, I wouldn't pull out my phone if I felt that they would, you know. So it's the respect of who you're with. Yeah. And it's understanding that, and manners change, I think, for, you know, each person. You know, what is that, showing that respect is what is acceptable with the people you're with.
Yeah. Well, I certainly hold a lot of hope for your generation, and there is evidence that they are less prejudiced and are more accepting of different lifestyles, and the intolerance that seems to be raising its ugly head in the last couple of years. Perhaps there is a hope for relief in that, as one generation takes over the levers of power from the preceding one. So,
yeah. And I definitely think, you know, the baby boomers led that; they trailblazed that, and now I feel like we're starting to take the reins and, you know, bring it, you know, further into that that direction.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I have wondered. I did a show about Christmas and the decline of Christmas music in the schools and the message that it had, and I definitely got some flack about it. But you know, I'm not feeling good about what I see as the decline of patience, of empathy, of tolerance, of kindness, of gentility, of politeness, and so you know, I'm just snooping around to try and get at it, because I think it jeopardizes the function of government. I think it already has. I think we have a completely compromised democracy in the federal government because people are intolerant of other points of view, and they tend to demonize those whose points of view are different. And this goes from the left and the right. And the people in the middle, they get primaried, they're out. The people in the middle are seen as betrayers or lacking in principle, when maybe they just recognize the old truth that newer members of Congress don't recognize, that passing laws requires compromise. It may not be pretty, but a compromise is not the same as abandon of principle. But the loss of civility makes it so easy to just, you know, flame out on social media, on Facebook, and you know, once it's out there, it's hard to take back. That take a breath. Is this what I really want to say before you hit send? That's one thing that could you know, benefit from, I don't know, that's just a little bit more contemplation.
Definitely. So, all right, well, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for your call. So the topic today is manners. Is rudeness on the decline? No, is rudeness on the ascent? And are good manners in decline? Let's make America polite again. So here are, let's see. I guess I'll share a couple of anecdotes. I started a conversation on Facebook,
And it was about whether the tax cuts by Trump were benefiting the middle class or benefiting the country. And then things kind of disintegrated. There was a side thread that took place between two people I know and two people I consider friends, one on the left, one on the right. And it really did unravel into profanity, obscenity, and very personal and hurtful attacks, you know, sexual indos. And it was bewildering. And so that sort of restraint that I just referred to was seemed to be missing. And it's painful to see it happen. We have another caller. This is The Conversation with John Horowitz. Your comment or question?
Good morning, John. I have two comments. One about us as Americans. I read an article yesterday about empathy and how empathy is something. I mean, I think empathy is the kind of common ground that we could stand on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it seems policy is made on what we do when we empathize with someone. We see that immigrants at the border are in need, and we empathize with them. Now, what do we as Americans do about that? So then we stand to the right or the left. But if we could stand together on empathy, that would be, I think that would be a goal. That could be a goal for Americans to learn that simple grace.
Go ahead.
The other comment I have is about, I am a kind of a retired teacher at the moment, and just having recently retired, and I find the behavior of children in classroom to be I don't even know how to say it.
Disruptive.
Yes, and I called them the children of the corn, because they had no regard for one another. They had no regard for the teacher. There was absolutely no controls on some of these children, and it was amazing. I just saw a television show recently. The woman reporter was interviewing six teachers, where they spend 90% of their day trying to manage disruptive behaviors.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because my next show, I'm now every other week, my next show in 2 weeks, the 28th, will have Heidi Wintermute, our new school board member for the city of Astoria, and she's an educational psychologist who's apparently well-informed in it. So I really think that is about as close to a pressure point on this topic of civility as can be had. And I am alarmed. I hear things about from various school districts in our county. I am alarmed at the potential for reducing how well people come, how well informed people, how educated they are when they come up. Do they just think the world's a chaotic and a place where disruption is the norm and the only way to be heard is to talk louder or be more aggressive? So I appreciate that point on your part. We'll follow that up with this show in a couple of weeks. But on your first point, you know, looking left or looking right, I think we have to really step back and think about when we warehouse and put people that are not like us or we perceive as the enemy, if we put them in concentration camps and Fort Sill, they're really being squeezed in there. That was a place where we put Indians, Native Americans, and we have this legacy with the Japanese Americans, the travesty, darkest hours for American civil rights.
Blacks being shot regularly in the streets by police because they don't understand, you know, race. They don't understand one another. They don't empathize with one another.
Absolutely. It comes from a lack of empathy. Now, whatever we may think about closing our borders and requiring people to obey the laws about, you know, proper application for citizenship, regardless of that, the children don't have much power. They're being brought along by their parents. And if they're dying or they're being forcibly or negligently displaced and lost from their parents, this is just unconscionable. It is a breach of American values of the first order, and one that history will not forget, but will rather put in the same category as the internment camps for the Japanese Americans.
They were going to tattoo numbers on the children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's too bad. So we definitely need to bring empathy to bear, and empathy for people that feel justified in good faith belief that America needs to regulate who comes into this country, that they appreciate our values, they speak our language, and, you know, whether or not they're taking our jobs, that's a fact question. But if we disagree with them on that, we should actually come well prepared with the facts on anything. And that just requires more work. It's perhaps less satisfying than fulminating and flaming on the perceived other, the black hat, if you will. But that's the right way to do it. To be civil here, we need to just look about what we're disagreeing and not be so quick to condemn the morality of the person with whom we have a disagreement. Do you agree?
Oh, 100%. 100%. Thank you for the conversation this morning, John.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye. So this is a stimulating topic. I may return to this because I have sheaf after sheaf of notes, you know, about things. So then there was another incident here in the city of Astoria. I was leaving Three Cups, and there was an exit from the parking lot there, which had extremely bad visibility because the vehicle was parked. It was coming towards the city, heading east. And so I pull out, and I do so as quickly as I can. This person's probably going 35, and I'm pulling out there. And so he has to apply his brakes. And so not only does he immediately blast his horn, not only does he flip me off, then he traveled a quarter mile, he flips me off again. And we are all confronted in such a moment with, do we just let it go? Do we react? Do we let our adrenaline, our self-righteous indignation, the realm of the ego, do we let that have free reign and just follow that unconsciously where it may lead? And we all know that some people are crazy. Some people have personality disorders. Some people have guns. A lot of people have guns. And fortunately, my better angels persuaded me to just let it go, take a breath. And that's what we need to do, is just try not to get drawn into the fray, the personality, intrigue, and drama of it all. And there are situations like that, I have a feeling, that happen to all of us quite frequently on the roads. And the road rage thing just shows perhaps not just the decline of civility, but our decline of self-awareness, that we do things and say things behind the cover of 2,500 pounds of metal or an iPad that we would never do. We would never dream of doing or saying. Why? Because it would be impolite. So obviously we are new in this era of social media, for example. We are not new in the era of automobile traffic. So I think it comes down to how our parents modeling values. Parents are, I think, becoming an equal problem in terms of ignoring their responsibilities or being fully present by their use of smartphones and social media. So that's one place we can reach out to others, or, you know, seek instruction or be open to self-criticism. And another one is our teachers. But if we delegate to teachers the whole task of raising a polite and respectful children, it may be too great of a burden, compounding that with the problem of oversized classrooms, disruptive children who really have issues they have no place in a regular classroom, or the help that they need that they're not getting. So these are things that we can work on in our community and in our country, and we have to, because I just see an unraveling going on here. And now we have more and more of these mass murders, these people that are just going out and they're blasting away. We need to intercept that in the schools, perhaps. And it's just hard to get people who are parents to acknowledge the need for more FaceTime when they themselves have their faces stuck in the phones. But we are coming up on the end of the show, so I want to thank everybody for who called in, and all of those out there who listened. And we'll be back in 2 weeks. My guest on Conversation with John Orr will, on Friday, June 28th, 2 weeks from today, will be Heidi Wintermute. And hopefully we'll be able to touch on some of those issues of the disruption and in the schools. Maybe we can nip it in the bud. So this is KMUN 91.9. KTCB, Tillamook 89.5, streaming live at coastradio.org. And if you miss this broadcast, you won't be able to call in, but you will be able to listen, and that's a podcast, again, at coastradio.org. Just look for podcasts, A Conversation with John Orr. Coming up at 10:01, we will have the national news, and then we will have Albert with his Friday Folk Show. Always a treat and a delight. Thanks for listening to KMUN, and thanks to KMUN for letting me do this show.